Arizona. It's Sanderson Ford country. On that live broadcast last week, I got to pilot the Rosie on the House Ford Transit down Interstate 10, and I was just tickled to death how many people would just pop, pop, wave their hand out the window and give me a high five. It just tickled me to death. That Transit is a nice ride. It's really an incredible vehicle. And the thing I loved about it is loading it and unloading it. I could stand upright and not have to worry about knocking my head on the top of that sliding door. It was full height. I love that vehicle. And I tell you what, I came back to the office, and for some reason, everybody in the company was parked. It looked like a fleet of Sanderson Ford F-150s and 250s. I mean, they were lined up, rear-view mirror to rear-view mirror to rear-view mirror to rear-view mirror. And I looked at that, and I thought, man, every one of those vehicles over the last 20 years has come from Sanderson Ford. And in my prior company, 20 years prior to that, all the way back to the 80s, I haven't bought a vehicle any other place than Sanderson Ford since I had my first buying experience there in about 1980 or 1981. And if you'll go have your buying experience at Sanderson Ford, you'll do the same thing. You'll never go shop anywhere else, regardless where you live in Arizona. Get to Glendale. Get to the 65-acre automobile lot at Sanderson Ford, the most award-winning Ford dealership in America, number one Ford dealership in Arizona. You get there, walk on the property, shop, and buy like I did 40 years ago. You'll never shop anywhere else. 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, open all year long. Go check them out.
As we were going to the bottom of the other news break, we were talking to Sue about attic ventilation, and she wanted to know if the holes at the bottom underneath the eaves were necessary for the ventilation. She said she felt smoke and sound got up in there.
Yeah. Sue, anything that travels through the air will go in there, and that's okay. The thing you have to know about attic insulation is the more you have, the better off you are, generally speaking. If you have a vented attic, the little holes you're talking about with the wire on the back, in the trades, we call that bird blocking, and it keeps the birds from getting up and into your attic. And those holes are designed specifically to allow outside air into your attic, where then you should have other points higher up in the attic where that air, heated air, can exit, either through a dormer vent or a whirly bird or gable end vents. You want your attic to breathe passively and naturally as much as it can. You never, ever want to put a power fan in the attic to help increase the air circulation. That's a big no-no. You want a nice R30 to R38 insulation above your living space. That insulation has to be blocked away from the bird blocking so that bird blocking can create ventilation. Do not block up those holes. You'll be sorry if you do. I know you have other vents there. That's for the attic to exhale. And the attic won't have anything to exhale if you block up those holes, because that's where the attic is inhaling. And if you block those, the attic is going to start inhaling your indoor air that you've already paid to heat and cool. It has to make up If it's losing air, it has to make up that air from someplace. And it'll do it from the easiest place it can. Leave those vents. Do not power ventilate your attic. Do not put radiant barrier in your attic. There you go. That's attic insulation.
All right. We appreciate the call and the education. Let's see. Matt has been next on the line, holding the longest at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a question. We're building a cabin up in the shallow area, and on the plans that we initially got, they just were some generic electrical and whatnot. We're in the framing stage, and I noticed in the bathroom there is not a exhaust fan. Is that required by code? Or
no, it's not. I would guess that those same bathrooms have operable sliding or opening windows.
One does and one does not. One's on the complete interior. That's why we were a little concerned about the moisture.
Yep. The one that doesn't have a window, I don't know City of Sholo building code requirements. Generally speaking, in the areas I build, if a bathroom does not have any natural ventilation with an operable window, a fan is required. They're not that expensive. There's no reason for you not to put one in. I would put one in, even in the bathrooms that do have windows.
And it's a lot cheaper right now before the drywall goes in.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you, I tell people all the time that I'll give you recommendations. Matt, when we're doing remodeling and building at Rosie Wright Remodeling, my guys have fallen in love with this Panasonic bathroom fan. It's extremely quiet. It moves about 250 CFM on high. You can have it with a heat light in it. You can have it with an ambient light in it. And that's the one exhaust fan we're putting in more than any other. When they tell us, Rosie, just put in what you like, that's what my guys are installing. It's a Panasonic unit that worked real well, and I think we're buying it wholesale for well under $175. You can't beat that. So you're at the right point in the framing stage. Go ahead and put them in.
We appreciate the call, and congratulations on a nice little summer cabin in Sholo to escape and get out to during the summer heat of the valley, which is, I'm sure, is what you're doing. We've got, I think line two is next on, and I don't see a name, so I'm not sure who we're going to, but wants to talk about finding a...
Is it Charles?
That is Charles.
Yeah. Okay. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, thank you. Hey, I'm trying to figure out where my, if I have a sewer clean out. I've got one on the side of the house, and what I want to do is backwash my pool into the sewer, but I don't want to do it on the one on the side of the house.
Is there
an easier economical way to find an in-ground clean out?
Well, every home is only going to have one area a clean out's installed, and depending on when the home was built, it's either a one-way clean out or a double sweep clean out, but they both go to the same place. The most economical way for you to backwash into that, and some cities, most cities will allow that, some cities frown on that, is to get to a pool supply company and just buy a really long hose and run it down there and backwash into that. That's going to be the most economical. There's no reason to put a secondary clean out anywhere around the outside perimeter of the house.
And most cities will actually like you to backwash into the sewer system. But if you're on a septic, don't do it if you're on a septic.
Yeah, that's true. So does that make sense, Charles?
Well, yes and no, but I was told not to go into the one on the side of the house.
That's the only, you're not going to have two. I don't know who would have said that. Was it a plumber? Was it a pool guy? Was it?
I think it was a pool guy. More than one person has told me that, because you start flushing a bunch of water in there and you run the risk of if there's a backup down the line, then you got the toilets or drains as the escape route.
Oh no, yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, if you've got any indication that you've got a plug down drain, backwashing could be a huge event inside the house.
Have it scoped or cleaned first before you...
If you want to do that, any of the plumbers could run a camera down there and just verify that the line is clear to the sewer tap and backwash away, man. I can tell you most pool companies use the clean out and with little or no trouble if the plumbing system is in current good working order. And backwashing is quite a bit more water volume than a toilet flush. So you do want to make sure the path is clear. But it doesn't make sense. There's no way for us to install a secondary clean out easily without saw cutting, getting inside your home, removing the toilet that's closest to your pool equipment. I mean, you're talking thousands of dollars. If it were me, I'd put somebody inside the house. I'd turn on the pool, backwash it down there, and at the first sign of, you'll know by you audible hearing it, whether it's flushing down or starting to back up. Have somebody over at the pool pump ready to turn it off. I'd do that before I'd spend several thousand dollars putting in a second clean out. I hope that helps, Charles.
And as Gary D's working on screening,
what a load of callers.
Yeah, Jennifer usually is here, but she lost her voice on a recent trip, so she didn't feel she could call screen. We've got our weekly to-do that we usually do in this third segment of our 10 o'clock hour, our open home hour, and it's designed to tackle one element of maintenance around your home. And this one kind of necessarily isn't a maintenance one for a lot of you because a lot of us don't have mini splits yet. But mini splits, just like your regular air conditioning unit, still needs to be looked. You still have filters to clean there. You still got to make sure you've got the proper...
Not much of one.
The proper charge. And we've got our article on what to do if you do have a mini split. Now, where do you use a mini split? They're designed as space coolers. You know, what used to be your
window unit.
Your window unit is now a mini split. They're much more efficient than the window units.
They're more efficient than central heating and air.
Yeah. And there are some areas and smaller homes where you could have two or three mini splits, and that's your entire cooling system and not have a central. And we will probably see a lot of the design of the future homes that are, you know, in the 2,000 and under square foot range being designed to have a mini split system instead of a mechanical.
It's the way the rest of the world air conditions their homes.
Yeah.
They don't go with a central system. They go with mini splits, dividing the homes into zones.
That don't live in the desert.
Right.
So, and they're great for garage. If you've got a hobby garage or even if you've got expensive vehicles and you don't want to pull your hot truck in or you wouldn't be able to back your vehicles out and use that expanded space, they are great for garage cooling or hobby room coolings. If you've got...
It costs less to cool a room with a mini split than it does to evap cool it. That's how efficient they are.
Yeah.
And you're not introducing all that moisture. We evap cooled our garage for what, Romy? 25 years? And you're dealing with that humidity, which is good for the hoses and the parts of the car. But boy, it's kind of hard on the toolbox. All those tools in there. So mini split's the way to go. The only thing you need to know about a mini split is if you've ever bought a Black & Decker Dustbuster, the filter in that Dustbuster is better than most filters you get in a mini split. So you probably will have to have an independent filtering system if clean air is critical to you.